Welcome back. The time roundabout now, as we've crossed the top of the hour, is 10:02 p.m. You've been listening to, for the last roughly 1 hour and a bit, to Hotel the Blues here on 90.3 CKUT FM. Now, just to recap the last few tracks in that set. 3 tracks ago, we heard from Lil McClintock playing Mother Called Her Child to Her Dying Bed. And right after that, we heard from Southern Culture on the Skids playing Chitlin Strut off of their first album from way, way back. I believe it was in 1990. And from whom you just recently heard a really awesome uplifting tune. If you weren't shaking your butt and, you know, grooving out to that one, there's something up. That was Miko Marks and the Resurrectors playing Ancestors. Now, as I did mention before, at the very, very beginning of the program, we've got a lot of blues birthdays. And I was kind of exaggerating a bit because we only have really one more. But this one is a really, really important one. And, you know, it's one that, in fact, our last birthday discussion, the Fantastic Negrito, he did actually did a shout out for this cat who also shares this birthday. And, of course, this guy has a special place in my heart because without him, I don't think I would have picked up the guitar to play the blues or even delved into that kind of music. It was from him that I actually learned my first kind of blues stylings, as a matter of fact. And I'm sure for many others that it was the same story. This key figure shares the same birthday as the Fantastic Negrito, even though his birth date itself is kind of disputed. But the foundation, which manages his affairs, cites it as January 20th, as the same day as Fantastic Negrito. And as a matter of fact, this guy was John Lomax's most famous, recordings that he ever made. And as a matter of fact, you might know his story from getting out of prison not once, but twice on a song. He played a song for the governor, and both times he got out of jail and got a pardon. And you might know his story as being rather a violent one, rather kind of contributing to that kind of mythos around the blues. But also, you might remember him for being this key bridge point between the blues as well as the folk revival that would later come along down the line in the 50s and the 60s. And indeed, this artist is so pivotal to the blues, it's kind of hard to even conceptualize what American music would be without him. He was a true trendsetter, but also a daring pioneer. Of course, I am talking about Leadbelly, whose proper name is Huddy Leadbetter. So in commemoration of this guy, who I hold in the highest esteem, we're going to play a song for you from him, as a matter of fact. But first, I wanted to read to you a little bit about him, you know, kind of demystifying just who this guy was. This is an excerpt from a biography of Leadbelly titled The Life and Legend of Leadbelly. It was written in 1999 by Charles Wolfe and Kip Lornell and is published by DeCapo Press, New York. But if you go and Google it up, I think you can find the excerpt that I'm reading from. But because I know how hard it is, it's really hard to get blues books and stuff out here in the Great White North. But if you Google it up, I'm sure you can find, because they have published some of the excerpts online with permission of the author to, you know, just get a taster for what they're talking about. So on to kind of contextualizing and, you know, talking to you about who Leadbelly was. I'm going to be reading a bit from that book, and particularly the section titled The Young Performer, just to give you an idea of who was young Huddy Leadbetter. By the time he was 14, Huddy Leadbetter had won a reputation for his guitar playing and singing, and was in much demand for the Suki jumps and house parties surrounding the Caddo Lake region of his birth, which is on the Louisiana-Texas border. The offers to play arrived on a regular basis. Huddy's girlfriend, Margaret Coleman, remembered, "As the time rolled on, the white people with stores and drugstores asked Huddy to play Saturday evening and nights at their places to draw the crowd. In that way, he made a nice change. Though he had grown up in an almost exclusively black community, he was getting a chance to perform for a wider audience, a different audience, the kind of audience he would later learn to cultivate in New York. He also began practicing the craft of entertaining, learning how to sell himself and his music to an often rowdy crowd. Much of it came naturally to him. For a time, he worked on a regular basis Saturday nights at a saloon in Leigh, Texas, out a few miles on the Blanchard Latex Road. Huddy was trying hard to grow up. He was a big, strapping boy with muscles toned from working in brutal weather on his father's farm. But he soon realized he wasn't as sophisticated as he thought. A story Huddy told later, years later, illustrates this awareness. Every Saturday, I'd go out to Lay, Texas, and I'd carry my guitar. Some of them would give me money when I'd get to the saloon. Then the man would give me beer and money, too. But I had a good friend. Her name was Early Bennett. She would call me Six Shooter. And Early, she would stash the beer for me. Every time somebody would give me a beer, I'd give it to Early and she'd keep it for me. Huddy couldn't abide the raw bitter taste, of the beer, though, and he could hardly bring himself to drink it, though he felt he had to. Finally, he hit upon a solution. I'd get some sugar from my mom at home, you know, and put it in a paper and put it in my pocket. So when I get through, me and Early would get behind the saloon. Early, she drank her beer straight, but I had to put a little sugar in mine. In 1902, this part of Texas and Louisiana was still very much a frontier, a land of bootleg whiskey, disputes over women, knife fights, and shootings. With so much violence as a part of everyday life, it was hardly surprising that Huddy soon got caught up in it. Irene Campbell, a second cousin of Huddy's, recalled, at 14, he started running around. I can remember later when he came to his mother's all cut up. He had been out all night, and he had his guitar strapped to his back. There was blood all over the front of his clothes, and his jaw was hanging open because someone had barely missed his eye with a cut on his jaw from the top to bottom. Such scenes became more and more familiar, and though Huddy's parents, Wes and Sally Ledbetter, were upset about them, Margaret Coleman was more sympathetic and more willing to listen to Huddy's side of things. Margaret insisted that it wasn't the life Huddy lived, nor his character which caused his problems. Instead, it was nothing but jealousy in the heart of the people because he could beat them playing and dancing and made more money. Some began picking on him, telling wrong things. Huddy, being big-hearted, would laugh and try to keep down the confusion. He would say to them boys, "I don't care what you say about me, don't hit me." He would try to defend himself, regain friendship with his enemies. Another friend of Huddy's, Mary Patterson, agreed this was the official line that reached his parents, but thought there was more to it. That's what his parents said, "Everybody picks on son." He had them believing that, but I think that he was always crazy about women. They were jealous of him, I guess, but he sure would fight about the women. Another childhood friend from this time, Sally Hooks, added, "He would take nothing off of nobody. He didn't go around starting things, but if somebody looked like they wanted to start, he'd be ready." Obviously, Huddy was a quick-tempered boy in a violent society. His ability to talk his way out of trouble with his parents could mask this only so far. After a few more nights of watching his only son come home bleeding from cuts and bruises, Wes Ledbetter knew that he had to take some kind of action. When Huddy turned 16, Wes presented his son with a typical coming-of-age present in the frontier south of 1903, a pistol. The gun was a protection special Colt that's comfortably fit under Huddy's coat in a holster. Years later, Huddy could recall his father's exact words when he handed him the weapon. "Now, son, don't you bother nobody. Don't make no trouble. But if somebody tried to meddle with you, I want you to protect yourself." The gift did wonders to lift Huddy's self-image. It didn't take him long to try it out. At a neighborhood suki jump a few weeks after his birthday, Huddy asked a girlfriend named Eula Lee to ride home with him on his new horse. She readily agreed. As they were preparing to leave, however, another boyfriend stepped up and insisted that Eula Lee ride home with him in his new buggy. This boy had been talking big all night, Huddy recalled, and had been thinking that this new buggy made him the boss over the whole world. An argument developed that quickly evolved into a struggle. The boyfriend grabbed the girl by the arm, and she grabbed Huddy to hold on. Huddy remained silent, but as the other boy kept getting louder and more abusive, he eased his hand under his coat, feeling for the protection special. He felt the chilly steel, its cold weight reassuring. Huddy listened to the tirade, and finally, when the braggadocio's talk got too big, he lashed out with the gun and pistol-whipped the youth on the side of his head. He went down, and Huddy leaped on him, straddling him with the Colt in his hand. Then he pulled the trigger. The gun misfired, a bad cartridge. Before Huddy could recover from his surprise, the badly shaken boy managed to squirm away and take off around the side of the house. Huddy fired quickly two shots in his direction, but it was too late. Huddy took Eula Lee home, then rode over to his own nearby farm, woke up his father, and told him what happened. Wes quickly got dressed and rode over to the sheriff's office, only to discover the parents of the other youth had already arrived. They were crying that somebody had been killed, that Huddy had to be arrested right then. Fortunately, the sheriff was acquainted with Wes, knew of his good reputation in the area, and was willing to cut his son some slack. He eventually fined Huddy $25 for carrying a concealed weapon and letting him go with a warning. For the rest of his life, this incident stayed with Huddy. It wasn't the first time he had met violence at a frontier dance, but it was the first time he had truly asserted himself, and the first time he had gotten himself into a potentially lethal situation. This was apparently his first brush with the law, but for the chance of misfiring of his cult, it could have resulted in something far more serious. As it turned out, the episode became a lesson to him, a lesson about how quickly violence could erupt in a frontier settlement, and how easily one could get caught up in it. This lesson was reinforced a short while later when Huddy drew his gun once more. He saw his girlfriend and another boy sitting together in a nearby house. Without thinking, Huddy fired his Colt through the door. The bullet apparently flew harmlessly, but it meant another visit to the sheriff. So once again, that was an excerpt from the book that I just mentioned a while ago, The Life and Legend of Leadbelly, published in 1999 by Charles Wolfe and Kip Lornell. You can also read this article if you just Google up the book. I'm sure you can find it out there. That part was called from the section of the book titled Young Performer. So I hope it gives you a bit of an idea about just the kind of violent and kind of tumultuous background that Leadbelly and Huddy Leadbetter rather came from. And in that contextualization, in that spirit of wishing him a heavenly birthday and, you know, just trying to inform you about how cool and how important this guy is and where he comes from, we're going to play a tune from him right now. Here he is, Leadbelly, playing Fannin Street. Hope you dig here on 90.3 CKUT FM.
So I'm going to play you now, and this will tell a true story about Fannin Street. California, they call it Cry for Me. Follow me down. Follow me down, follow me down, I'm at the top, you. Ooh. My mama told me, my little sister too, when on Valentine's Day, they're gonna be the death of you. Ooh, I didn't care. I told my mama, mama, you don't know. When on Valentine's feet, Kimmy, why don't you let me go? Ooh, she come this crying over what I said. I couldn't stand to hear mama crying over what I said. Me being so young and tender, bones and surrender, I went and fell on my knees myself. I went to my mama, fell out on my knees, crying, oh Lord, mama, will you forgive me, please? Ooh, ooh, come and cry myself. Let her know what side of town I was running on when I leave home, so she wouldn't be worried about me when I'm gone. I got a woman living on Stony Hill, been running all over town with Buffalo Bill. Ooh, she's a bad man. You been running all over town with Buffalo Bill. Two trains to one, baby, that you ain't done got kicked. Come and cry as ever. Cry for me. Cry for me now. Ask your people who made up this song, tell them you didn't let better done been here and gone.
Yer sabu yer koi kamite digo roka ko tangari ka yendi chini. Yer sabu yer koi kamite digo roka ko tangari ka yendi chini. Alinde photo photo o yo koy yer jinen dalar me balita paire go asa walanda jiri foka koy jere aga kuna jer ger jonda kut jamba jere e photo photo o yo koy yer jinen dalar me balita paire go asa Ndoyo serepa makoi tonda nsongo sika sila buda yer goinda chimi. Borkana yer suba mahi sangu bomo yer pere ponde yer punda fara.
Yeah, Joe.
Welcome back. The time roundabout now on your dial should read about 10:27 p.m. You're listening to Hotel the Blues here on 90.3 CKUT FM. Now, just to recap the last few tracks you heard in that set. Three tracks ago, we went to Mali to hear from Ali Farka Touré playing Yer Sabu Yerkoi. And after that, we heard from Henry Thomas playing Old Country Stomp. And after that, we heard from Oliver Sane on the sax playing Mr. King and Mr. Jordan. To keep the tunes rolling, without further ado, as we are in the last half hour of our wonderful star-studded program here, here is Chicken Wilson and Skeeter Hinton playing Chicken Wilson Blues. Hope you dig here on 90.3 CKUT FM.
Where's your husband at?
I declare this whole
a dollar down in his shoe. I declare this whole world is in a bad condition. I declare this whole world's in a bad condition. I declare this whole world's in a bad condition. I guess I better make a move.
Dante woke up, he didn't mean to. He could have used a little more time in his dreams. But it was getting late in the evening, and as depressed as he was, he went walking in that buzzing night by the jasmine on the corner. He fit his headphones tied around his big old head. He let the soundtrack move him through the city. Yeah, just a black boy walking with the moonlight in his eye. And Karen Johnson was out jogging with her neon vest and a chocolate lab named Sam. She just bought a house for next to nothing, right across the street from where our hero lays his head. The wristwatch counted every footstep as she shot like a bullet through the night. She thought to get in a run before early morning. Yeah, just a white girl running with the law on her side. And on a poor-lit street, she saw Dante standing. But to her, he looked like a big black gun. Reach for her phone, dial 911, and in a matter of minutes, Dante's gone. Dante woke up, he didn't mean to. He could have used a little more time in his dream.
Welcome back. The time roundabout now should read 10:41 p.m. You've been listening to Hotel the Blues. You're on 90.3 CKUT FM. Just to recap the last three tracks you heard in that set. Three tracks ago, we heard from Dave and Phil Alvins, formerly of the Blasters, as a matter of fact, playing a cover of Tampa Red's World's in a Bad Condition. And after that, we got a double shot from Sacramento artist Trey Burt. The first song was Cherry Pie Blues, followed by the Jasmine, for which you just recently heard. To keep the tunes rolling, as we are running out of time on this program, here's a bluesy, jazzy number from Grant Green titled Number 1, Green Street. Hope you dig here on 90.3 CKUT FM. Thank you.
every time I call. I want a long time daddy who ain't always got some stall. I ain't like those silly lovers sitting somewhere in a park, satisfied with just a kiss or two as soon as it is dark. I want a long time daddy, ready every time I call. Now things of great importance can't be done right away. Every fool know Rome and Athens wasn't built in a day. Loving is an art you learn degree by degree. That's why greenhorn lovers just ain't got 'em for me. I must have a daddy who is gentle and he's kind. One who loves me and there's nothing else on his mind. I'm just built for comfort. Speed don't come in my line. But I guarantee there's no loving no better than mine. One-minute papa, he must have a pedigree. I'll just let it nose point forward, cause the rest belong to me. I want a long time daddy, ready every time that I call. Thank you.
Welcome back. The time roundabout now on your dial should read 10:56 p.m. You've been listening to Hotel de Blues here on 90.3 CKUT FM, broadcasting, of course, from a small wee little house nestled on the side of Montreal's Mont Royal on unceded Mohawk territory. I've been your host for the last couple of hours, roughly, Vishwa Ramakrishnan, playing for you some of my favorite blues hits, associates, and affiliates. Just to recap the last few tracks in that set, as always, two tracks ago we heard from Bea Foote playing I Want a Long Time Daddy, and right after that we heard from Babe Stovall going away to Wear You Off of My Mind. Now, as always, to conclude the program, I'd like to invite you to send me your tunes and your thoughts and comments about the show. Please do email us at hoteldublus@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, and as you've already heard on this show, we'd love to air what you've got to say and the tunes that you want to hear. And as well, if you're a musician, please do feel free to send in your tunes of your own creation. We'd love to play those especially. Now, to play us out tonight, we're going to hear from Jerry McCain and his upstarts playing his tune, My Next Door Neighbor. Thanks again for tuning in, and please do stay safe in these COVID times. Have a wonderful rest of your night.
You know my next door neighbor, about to make me lose my mind. You know my next door neighbor, about to make me lose my mind. They can't knock on my door unless they want to borrow something all the time. They want to borrow the broom, they want to borrow the mop, they want to know the time, so they borrow the clock. They want to borrow some lard and a piece of meat. They want to borrow some sugar to make the coffee sweet. They want to borrow $2 until payday. They want to borrow the liniment to rub the pains away. You know my next door neighbor, about to make me lose my mind. They can't knock on my door unless they want to borrow something all the time. They want to watch the fights and try to pick a winner. They bought my television, come back and get my antenna. They bought a lawnmower, they bought an electric fan. They bought a vacuum cleaner and the garbage can. They bought a knife, fork, spoons and plates. They bought a counter off the wall to keep up with the date. You know my next door neighbor, about to make me lose my mind. They can't knock on my door unless they want to borrow something all the time. They worry me. People would borrow from the dead. The borrowing's all right, but it's a natural fact. The people like to borrow, but they won't pay back. You know my next door neighbor, about to make me lose my mind. They can't knock on my door unless they want to borrow something all the time. Get out, stay gone.
All right. Directions on how to use your radio. Find the power button. Turn it to on. Turn the knob to CKUT 90.3 FM. Relax and enjoy.
These sounds are generated by energetic particles in Earth's plasma sphere, which are being tugged to and fro by the rotation of Earth's magnetic field. You see, there is a plasma sphere around Earth containing clumps of ions and electrons. As Earth and its magnetosphere rotate, the magnetic fields push through these particles, accelerating them in a wave called a plasma wave, similar in a way to how disturbances in Earth's ocean